Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Last Saturday of February, my friends. How are you, Brian?
It goes so fast. What? I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Today's my son's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
To your son. Happy birthday.
He is six today.
Six?
Yeah.
Wow. So time certainly flies.
I know. Didn't I just have him? Wasn't he just a newborn?
I remember holding him in my arms.
Oh, like it was yesterday.
And actually, it was 6 years ago.
It was 6 years ago. Yes, it was. So, yes. So today's his birthday. My mom is in town from California visiting because his birthday's today. And then my daughter's birthday is in like a week and a half. So their birthdays are very close. So my mom makes an annual trip out here every year to celebrate their birthdays with them. So she's here. Big birthday party this afternoon. Yeah.
Are you going to Chuck E. Cheese?
No, we're not.
It's going to be at your home?
No, it's not. It's going to be out. It's going to be out. At a place where the kids can run around and burn energy. That's not my home. But it'll be fun. It'll be good.
You don't want them to burn your home.
I don't want them to burn my home. Okay. No, that's a very, very good point. I don't know what kind of damage a bunch of six-year-olds can do, but I don't really want to find out. So
it's going to be a party with other
A party. This is really his first friend birthday party too in his little life.
Now, did he ask for this or this is something that you just?
Yeah, you know, he's becoming more aware of birthday party, you know, because we really haven't had, I mean, I haven't been connected with parents really, because they, you know, he goes to kinder care and he goes to kindergarten and there's not really this, it's different. Like with my daughter, when she went to kindergarten, all the parents were connected like electronically. Like we made a Facebook page and we all had each other's emails and like we were all just this little clan of parents. And with TJ's class, it's very, very different. I mean, there's no communication amongst the parents at all and everybody's just kind of living their life. So it was funny because I sent out paper invitations to his daycare and his kindergarten to send home with the kids that he wanted to invite. And nobody does paper invitations anymore. Everybody does Evite, you know? So, and Evite's so nice because you get the Evite, and then if you kind of forget about it, you get little reminder emails like,
and
hey,
that's free, right?
Yeah, it's free. Uh-huh. And you get little reminder emails like if you haven't responded, but the RSVP date is coming up, or if you've said yes, it'll say, hey, remember you've got this party on Saturday, which is great because if you, you know, if it came a month ago, you might, and you're not an organized person, you might forget about it. But paper invites, like, are such a throwback to when I was a kid. And, like, I don't know the
people
parents.
People are like, what's this?
Totally. And then, like, we invited about 20 kids, knowing full well that, you know, half of them probably wouldn't come. Well, half of them haven't even RSVP'd. Like, it's one of those things where I think you get an invitation and it either gets lost in the backpack or you put it down on the counter and, like, mail gets piled up on top of it and it's just this forgotten entity.
You mean I have to go and find a stamp?
No, they can text me. I did give them my phone number to text me an RSVP. Okay. I'm not that old school. But it's just kind of funny to think, like, geez, like, this is so different than the technology we're used to nowadays.
Yeah, they're probably saying, TJ, tell your mom to get a clue.
No, but that's how all the parents do it, because there's no other, we're not connected any other way.
And no, I mean, with the invitations, the written invitations.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, like, that's how all the parents invite kids to their birthday parties through kinder care, because there's no electronic link between the parents. Like we might see each other at drop off and pick up, but I don't really know them more than like, hey, how are you? You know, things like that. Not even on a first name basis with most of them, because I don't know I don't know their names. So it's just kind of a bit of funny throwback. And, you know, we did end up getting like 8 kids that RSVP'd out of 20, or 8 kids that are coming out of 20. So it still should be a good sized party. It'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, as a kid, I never had a birthday party.
Why?
Well, you know, I always thought that it was something that just happened. Oh. I didn't realize that you had to request it.
Oh, you just thought that you'd wake up and a party would happen?
It's like, hey, we're going to give you a party. It's your birthday coming up. Who do you want to invite?
Well, that's kind of how it goes, B.
But I guess in my household, I had to ask for, but I never, so I never, no.
That's the saddest story, one of the saddest stories I've ever heard.
No, it's fine.
Like, I imagine you waking up, like on Christmas Day, and you just expect presents to be there. Like, you wake up on your birthday.
That did happen, yes. There were presents there.
Right, but on your birthday, you wake up and just expect a party, and then there's no party. Like, that's kind of devastating and traumatic. Explains a lot about you.
I wasn't expecting a party. I was thinking that maybe someone would suggest or say, you know, just throw one for you as a surprise or something like that because it's your birthday.
And it never Well, we can do sad birthday stories. I won't have parties for myself anymore because I'm convinced that nobody will come. So I've given up altogether. Like, I'm just not even going to put it out there. So we both have traumatic birthday memories, apparently.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Well, hopefully kids will actually show up and remember that today is the birthday party. And
yeah, I'm sure they
will.
We'll
see.
As long as there's cake and ice cream.
There is. We actually have an ice cream cake. No clown. No clown.
That's good, because clowns are scary.
Right.
Man, so you don't want to do that.
No.
Now, also what's scary, I don't know, you probably didn't hear about this story, but there has been a recall, or as this particular company wants to call it, a withdrawal of certain kinds of dog food. I don't know if you're aware of this, and for folks with guide dogs, and actually anyone with a dog, these particular brands have been pulled, and J.M. Smucker is withdrawing all lots of certain Gravy Train, Kibbles and Bits, Skippy, and Old Roy canned dog food products that were manufactured since 2016 because they might contain pentobarbital, a sedative used in pet euthanasia. And a Food and Drug Administration alert was posted last Friday, but I thought I'd just mention it again. It may have gotten past some people. And the FDA said people with cans of these brands should toss them or contact J.M. Smucker about returns. And consumers can call the company at 800-828-9980 or contact the company online. So, and you can find out specifically, because there's lots of different flavors that are affected by this, but that's not good. They say that it's not really at a dangerous level, but it's considered adulterated, and it should never be present in pet food, pentobarbital. So be aware of that, folks.
Do you think that was an intentional poisoning or an accidental cross-contamination?
I don't know, but it's hard to imagine how pentobarbital wound up in
on the same conveyor belt as dog food.
Yeah, with the dog food.
Yeah, that's very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that, because I'm sure we have a lot of listeners who do have guide dogs, and you know, we certainly want to keep everybody safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we can move on to what's on the show today.
Let's do that.
Yes.
We are talking to Dr. Hunter Cherwick, and Dr. Cherwick will tell us how Orbit International works to provide surgeries and treatment for people around the world with cases of preventable blindness, but who may not have access to medical treatment.
Yeah.
So that sounds invaluable.
Mm-hmm. And you can learn all about that, and it should be very informational. Sandy handled that. And, of course, from there, we've got all the other usual friends and folks.
Usual suspects.
Who stop by to contribute to the program. So I suppose with all of that, today, weather-wise, it should be, somewhat rainy, but kind of...
just kind of blah.
In a high temperature.
Yeah, nothing too terrible, nothing too great.
In the 40s.
We're at the end of February. This is kind of to be expected.
Yeah, so sit back, enjoy your breakfast, your coffee, whatever you have. And we will come back and get everything started. You're listening to The Beacon here on WCPT.
820 a.m.
Thank you.
We gotcha.
All right.
Exercise is hard. So is maintaining a healthy diet. Of course, neither is half as hard as dying. Sadly, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and stroke kill nearly a million people a year. Even sadder, most of these deaths are preventable with a few lifestyle changes, including regular activity, healthier eating, and not smoking. Talk to your doctor about your risk for type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And if your doctor recommends lifestyle changes or medication, listen. The reason so many die is because not enough are willing to change. You can stop it, starting right now. It's your life. Listen to your doctor. Eat better. Get moving. Visit checkupamerica.org or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association.
Well, there are millions of people in the world with cases of preventable blindness, but that unfortunately do not have access to medical treatment. Orbis International works to provide surgeries and treatment to these individuals and also to train professionals in those countries on eye care for these individuals. Joining us today from Orbit International is Dr. Hunter Cherwick. Doctor, thanks for joining us today.
No, it's great to be here. Thank you for this invitation.
Wonderful. Well, first of all, what is the mission of Orbis?
Yes, Orbis is a nonprofit organization that works to eliminate avoidable blindness around the world. We've been working for over 35 years, and we try to build capacity in low-resource settings so that more people can have access to quality eye care.
Mm-hmm. Now, how exactly do you help these people with preventable vision loss in, you know, third-world countries?
Yes, we help patients directly with surgery and with medicines and even laser surgeries. With doctors, we offer both hands-on training, lectures. We have a medicine program called CyberSight, which uses the internet to connect people from all over the world to experts in the world. And we're most known for our Flying Eye Hospital, which is a converted MD-10 plane that actually has an onboard teaching eye hospital within the actual aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that Orbis has been around for 35 years, that's correct?
Yes, the first plane took off in 1982, and we're now on the third generation plane. But we have grown as an organization where we now have offices throughout the world, both to help with fundraising, but also to help with our country programs. Our headquarters is based in New York, where we run our CyberSight telemedicine platform. So we really have grown tremendously over the past 35 years.
It sounds like it, and it sounds like it's, you know, not just like you said here in the United States, but in many countries that need your services.
Yes, and I first joined Orbis 12 years ago in 2005, and I can tell you I've learned more from the partners and the patients from around the world than I ever did in medical school or residency.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, only with hands-on experience, it's, you know, you learn best that way.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, you mentioned you have lectures and different training for eye care medical professionals in other countries. Now, what kind of training do these individuals receive and what types of health conditions? Or can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. One of the things I love about Orbis is that we not only train the doctors, we train the anesthesiologists, which are needed for pediatric eye care, the nurses, the biomedical engineers. We do advocacy. We train, you know, even school teachers on how to do school screenings for children in classes. We do comprehensive training. For the healthcare professionals, as you rightly said, we give lectures, we do hands-on training. We have very sophisticated simulators, just like pilots use, to simulate surgery using computers and special devices. And then we also have wet labs where we bring doctors into different facilities and replicate a human OR using animal eyes or model eyes made of plastic.
So in other words, they're able to receive, if you will, hands-on experience, you know, with things like virtual reality and some of the new technologies that are out here nowadays.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about Orbis is we try to bring the best together and exchange ideas and skills. And we're able to bring out some of the latest technologies that you'd find here in the United States and for teaching, and put those on our plane and bring those into any country in the world where we can land our aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really intense conference where we may have as many people on the plane. Our team is very diverse. We may have as many people from 14 or 15 different countries all working together. It's a wonderful example of functional diplomacy. And we set up this high-energy, high-value skills exchange program on board the MD-10 Flying Eye Hospital.
Wow, that's amazing. And now, besides the medical training, the other important aspect of Orbis is the many patients that you help. Approximately how many patients from third world countries has Orbis helped?
So in the last 5 years, we estimate that we've done 350,000 eye surgeries or lasers,
mm-hmm.
and about a third, almost 100,000, 100,000 were children.
Mm-hmm.
So a big portion of our clinical portfolio is pediatric eye care.
Uh-huh.
And so we do a lot of special training and make sure that not only the pediatric patients get the best care, but their families understand the disease, they're aware of what needs to be done for follow-up. So we really provide a very comprehensive clinical program for our patients.
Now, as far as the procedures themselves, what types of procedures do you perform? Is it cataract surgery, or what types of procedures?
We do all procedures that you'd find in Chicago at, mm-hmm. at one of the hospitals there. We'll do laser procedures. We do not do the LASIK refractive procedure, so
sure.
we do not do that procedure. But we'll do retinal procedures, corneal transplants, strabismus, glaucoma. So every subspecialty that you would have in Chicago, we both teach and deliver that care with Orbis.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great. Now, how many countries has Orbis, in how many countries has Orbis provided its services?
So we have, with the plane, we've either worked in or had conferences in
uh-huh.
over 90 countries.
Uh-huh.
We have permanent offices and programs right now in 18 countries in Asia, Latin America, and Africa. But what's most exciting is the power and the reach of the internet. We're now in, people are actively working on our telemedicine platform in over 150 countries. So just like the plane in the 80s was able to connect the world, the internet and cell phones and mobile devices has really revolutionized the ability to teach and connect.
Very much so. And, you know, you said that you've been working with Orbis for 12 years now. What are some of the countries that you have been to?
Well, I've been very fortunate. I've gotten to see some of the best people and work with some of the best people in the world. I've been to over 30 countries, from India to China to Nigeria to Kenya to the Middle East and Syria. So I've had a great opportunity to see, you know, both the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. And then we also work in the Caribbean as well as in South America. So I've had my an incredible opportunity to see the world through the eyes of our patients and the eyes of our team.
When you've been able to, you know, help patients with the gift of sight, if you will, you know, which is one of the best gifts that they can have, you know, to have their sight restored and ultimately their independence.
Absolutely, and also that of the family. It, every time we take off a patch, I'm moved, and it is very impressive to see the power that a same-day surgery can do with cataract surgery. But again, we also do reconstructive oculoplastics, we do retinal surgeries, glaucoma surgeries, and the real focus and the heart of what we do is to train so that after we leave, the doctors are able to continue those skills and procedures to help more and more patients.
Absolutely. Very, very important. Now, how can people find out more about Orbis? You know, if it's maybe medical professionals in other countries or any individuals that would like to learn more about Orbis, how can they find out more?
Absolutely. First of all, our website at www.orbis.org
mm-hmm.
is a great place to start. Also, you can find us on Facebook at Orbis International. I think the most important thing, everyone, this is kind of a call to action. Everyone can get involved and help Orbis in some capacity. You don't have to be an eye doctor or an ophthalmic nurse or an anesthesiologist. knowing the power of sight and being, you know, passionate about this work and working with our teams, especially in New York at our headquarters, that's a wonderful way to channel energy to do well. And again, the website is www.orbis.org.
Now, you know, that's a good point you mentioned about everyone being able to help. And besides doctors, you know, what are some of the things that people can, you know, help out with or volunteer in with Orbis?
So, obviously, financial support is always appreciated, but people sharing their stories, sharing our good work, promoting us on the web, really everyone can get involved behind this cause, because it's such a cause that everyone can get behind and understand, going around and helping people who are less fortunate restore or save their sight. So I think, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I can't help Orbis, I'm not an eye doctor. Mm-hmm. I would say that some of the best people we've helped have been people who've raised money by doing races, or people who have helped, you know, promote our cause, or help printing eye charts for school screenings. Anything you do can ultimately translate to something that could help someone less fortunate in the developing world suffering from avoidable blindness.
Yeah, that's a very, very great cause. Now, is there anything else you'd like to share, Dr. Cherwick?
Well, I think one of the things that we should all know about as global citizens is the rate of blindness is expected to triple by the year 2050. Mm-hmm. So we really need to be thinking globally about how we as a community can address avoidable blindness, and the fact that, you know, 80% of that blindness could be prevented or treated, and that 90% of that is in the developing world. So the numbers can be quite staggering. The good news is we're leveraging technologies at Orbis every day, whether it's a plane, the internet, digital photography, and cell phones. The good news is just as the challenges rise, so do the opportunities and answers. So it's a very exciting time to join Orbis and join this cause, because so much is changing every day, every year. When I go to the conferences, I see new things that I didn't think would even be possible when I was a resident 12 years ago.
Definitely. Well, if anyone would like more information about Orbis, about volunteering, about any of their opportunities, and to learn more about how they help patients and provide training to eye care and other professionals in developing countries, you can visit www.orbis.org. Well, Dr. Cherwick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And thank you guys for all the great work you do there in Chicago.
Thank you. And best of luck to Orbis and all of your team. Well, everyone, this is the Chicago Lighthouse. This is the Lighthouse Beacon on WCPT 820 AM. We will be right back after these messages.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000 plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at you strange because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. I transitioned from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive in helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Welcome back to The Beacon. I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And I'm Brian Hawkins.
You just listened to Dr. Hunter Cherwick, who just provided us with some tremendously invaluable information, especially in the day and age where medical care is not easily accessible to many. So hopefully you got a lot out of that. And speaking of getting a lot out of something, we have got some events coming up that you may be interested in.
Yeah, we've talked about them. I think last week we mentioned them. First, don't forget, folks, February 25th from
tomorrow.
8 until noon, Bridgeview Community Center, 79th and Oketo Avenue, pancake breakfast, all you can eat, $6 for adults, $4 for kids 4 through 12, and kids under 3 eat free, and that breakfast would include pancakes, sausage, coffee, tea, and hot chocolate, sponsored by the Bridgeview Lions Club, and there's a coloring contest, pictures of characters from Frozen, Olaf, Elsa, and Anna, and raffles, prizes, fun for all. And the Lions also, but this time it's the Calumet City Lions Club, they invite you to join them with a meet and greet with their candidate for the office of international director. And that would be PDG Bob Block and Lion Brenda. And this is Sunday, March 4th. And that's at the Kings of Columbus Hall. But the thing of it is, they want you to make your reservation by Wednesday, February 28th, which is coming up soon. And it's from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. There's a spaghetti dinner, $15 per person, cash bar, games, fun, and fellowship. So you can call Lion Brenda Block at 219-616-7627 or email csblock1a@aol.com. And, you know, did I give you contact information? Oh, for the Bridgeview Pancake Breakfast, the tickets are available at the door or from any Bridgeview Lion. So if you'd like to attend that. And so those are things that are going on. But that's from the Lions Club. But there's things from the Lighthouse that's going on that we also like to remind you about.
You bet. The Chicago Lighthouse presents Poker and Casino Night. Have you been conditioning over at Horseshoe?
No, I haven't been to Horseshoe.
Oh.
I've been working all alone on my own.
Perfect. I love it. Thursday, March 1st, the doors open at 5:30. The cards fly at 7 p.m. This is taking place at Gibson's Steakhouse, Hugo's Frog Bar at 1024 North Rush Street in Chicago. And we are featuring charitable casino games, Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament, premium cocktails, Gibson's signature dinner and desserts, and over $20,000 in prizes. And this is like amazing to me. The grand prize is a $10,000 seat at the World Series of Poker main event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about poker or have ever given poker 2 minutes of my energy in my life, but that sounds intriguing to me.
Yeah, you're sitting there with all those big high rollers,
right?
Those poker players. But the thing to remember is you have to remember the cards, remember what's been played, and you have to have a poker face.
Yes.
And you should do okay.
You should do okay. That's all it takes to win the $10,000 seat. So does a $10,000 seat mean you are seated and you get $10,000 of playing money? Or is there like ranking of seats and you have to buy in? I don't, do you know?
Well, I think for the poker game and for the tournament, you have to buy in. So they take care of the buy-in.
Got it.
And that's the $10,000 fee.
That's so cool.
Now, I've done blackjack tournaments before. That's how the ones that I've participated in work.
Have worked. Okay. I would imagine it's somewhat similar. So proceeds will support the world-class programs and services of the Chicago Lighthouse North in Glenview for people of all ages in the north and northwest suburbs who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and veterans. ticket prices, which actually they ended, early bird ended February 19th. So that is that they early bird ended this past week. So you are going to pay at the door $200 for casino guests and $250 for poker players. So that's the door price. All tables will play with large print playing cards. So please indicate on your ticket purchase if you need to use Braille cards, and we will be happy to provide them. And if you're a beginner, no need to be intimidated. Last year's tournament winner was a beginner.
Mm-hmm, beginner's luck.
Wow. Do you know who that was?
No, I don't. Oh, Ross Rapid.
That's so cool. So for more information, please contact Lindsay Inglis at 312-447-3448 or Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y dot Inglis, I-N-G-L-I-S, at chicagolighthouse.org.
Now, you know, the lighthouse just doesn't stop. It, there's always something going on.
Keeping it moving.
And there's something that I think is really cool that's happening. Lighthouses on the Mac Mile. It's a public art display, and it's celebrating access and inclusion for people with disabilities. And what the lighthouse is doing is calling for artists to apply to be a part of this. Now, they're hosting a public art display. It invites professional and aspiring artists to participate, and they encourage submissions from artists of all cultural backgrounds, as well as artists with disabilities and artists who do not have a disability. And what happens is, if you're chosen as an artist for this, you will design a provided fiberglass lighthouse sculpture for the Magnificent Mile that will illustrate what it means to be a beacon for access and inclusion for people with disabilities. And each artist or group will receive a stipend of $750. And your sculpture will help those passing by to recognize the role of access and inclusion, play, and achievements of people with disabilities and other things as well. Now, to be considered for the opportunity, just complete the artist application and agreement and submit completed documents in person by mail or by email by March 19th, 2018. So if you'd like to get more information on this, just go to www.lighthouseonmagmile.com, and you can download an application there and get yourself started if you'd like to participate. So it'll be interesting to see all the different decorated lighthouses.
That sounds phenomenal. So will the winning sculpture have a permanent home on the Mag Mile?
No, I don't know if it's necessarily a winning situation. I think that they're looking to place as many on the Mag Mile and around Chicagoland as possible.
Oh, cool.
To
bring awareness.
Bring awareness, right, to celebrate access and inclusion for people with disabilities. And then after that, you know, they'll have to decide what to do with the lighthouses. So I think something like this has been done before with the cows many years ago.
Yes, I remember the cows.
And other things. So maybe this is along those lines.
Something similar. I love it. That sounds like a great idea.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, yes, yes. So all
is that
those
it
things
for
happening.
This week, we've got a lot going on, man.
That's it. That's it.
We're going to be busy. You're going to be busy running around to all these different events.
Well,
Brian is booked up.
I've been getting in shape.
He's been
weight.
Conditioning.
Yes, I've just gotten off my lemonade cleanse, so I'm ready.
Wow. You look glowing. You are absolutely glowing.
All
well,
right.
It's Sandy and Brett, and it's highly recommended.
I am Sandy Murillo.
And I am Brett Shishkoff. Hello, everybody.
And welcome to It's Highly Recommended, our segment reviewing books, television shows, theater performances, and even restaurants. Speaking of restaurants, Brett, how was your postponed birthday celebration?
That was fun. And then Saturday evening, I ended up going out with my brother, sister-in-law, and my sister. We ended up going to see the Black Panther.
Okay.
I went to one of the theaters that has, like, the servers walking around, Studio Movie Grill out in Wheaton. The manager who was there, she gave me, like, four different headsets.
Oh, really?
So she gave me two that were for, like, I think the hearing impaired, and then she gave me two for the visually impaired. And so I had to kind of sift through and find the one that worked. But once I found it, I was good to go.
Well, you have to give her credit, because I know that in some places, unfortunately, At least there will be times with me where I will just get one headset.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it's the one for the hearing impaired.
Right.
And, you know, that's great that the manager at least gave you the options. You know, she was honest, not knowing which one was which for sure.
Mm-hmm. The movie, to get to that, was very, very well done. Mm-hmm. The audio description, I really didn't have any issues with the headset. It was very, very clean and clear. No noise on the headset. So at least Studio Movie Girl, they seem to know that the technology is working pretty well. Whatever headset brand that they're using is going well.
Sure.
The movie's awesome. Uh-huh. I definitely highly recommend anyone to go and check this out. It is a little bit of a political statement. It does kind of touch on when you have power or wealth, what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. Do you sit back and watch the world crumble around you, or do you actually pick up the mantle and be an example or a beacon of light to everybody else? And so this country where the Black Panther's from, they are high, they have like high technology. They live in this kind of like mountain.
Sure.
Where they're actually quite a few years ahead of us in technology, in medicine, and so they are very private. They keep to themselves. Mm. And through the entire movie, it just keeps popping up of some people are on the side of, hey, we need to go and help the rest of the world, help the people, the African nations that are struggling. We need to be the example. We need to be able to show them how to move forward. And I think it does kind of put to like the way our culture is, the United States, and the way we've kind of taken a, we're going back into ourselves as a country. Mm-hmm. Instead of helping other countries. So I think there was maybe a little bit there when the writer was putting it together of you got to be careful when you have a completely nationalistic viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but lots of action, quite a few parts where you'll laugh. So there, it's a wide range of emotions that you'll feel. You'll be on the edge of your seat, maybe sweating a little bit, laughing. I didn't really cry, but maybe somebody would cry during the movie.
Sure.
But it's just a fun one. Marvel, they know what they're doing. Marvel Studios and Disney, they're fantastic, and they knock this one out of the park, and it's crushing it worldwide. It's one of the biggest openings in the entire world, just ever.
Sure.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. But I know you had an experience this weekend that you want to kind of touch on. You actually did a fun restaurant experience.
Some of our listeners might remember that I went to a hibachi grill for the first time on my birthday last year.
Mm-hmm.
This past weekend was my third time. Brett, I love it now so much that whenever I get a chance,
mm-hmm.
I will, you know, take the opportunity. And Saturday, I went with my family to Chai Tung restaurant. This is in Evergreen Park. It's on 96th and Kedzie. Mm-hmm. So it's out in the south side. And, you know, this restaurant, it has Chinese, Thai, Japanese, and the hibachi grill. So, you know, it's a pretty large restaurant. And it is always crowded. And as you probably know, Brett, when a restaurant is very crowded, that is usually a good sign that it's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
We got there right at 11:30 when it opened, so, and it was already crowded, so you can imagine, mm-hmm. you know, how busy it is. But I have to say, Brett, that a lot of people might go to the hibachi grill for the experience, the visuals, you know, seeing the chefs,
mm-hmm.
You know, using the different tools, the different, you know, it's quite a skill to be able to, like, maneuver the different knives.
Right.
And the food, and it's a huge talent. And, of course, when you can't see, you can't, you know, enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at least in my experience, you know, the different sounds, the different odors, the crowd of people, it's quite the unique experience of having the food cooked right in front of your eyes, you mm-hmm. know, at your table. This is my second time going to this particular restaurant.
Okay.
And the food is just fantastic, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend it. I do have to say, though, Brett, at least from my perspective, that it can get, if you are blind, I would suggest going with a family or friend member with sight, because, you know, it can get loud, it can get noisy,
right.
And when the, you know, waiters or the chefs are asking you things, you might not always know if they're talking to you or not, you know,
right.
Since there are several people at the same table. To me, that's the trickiest part of these types of restaurants.
You know,
I think it's one of those experiences that even if you, if it's not, you know, your particular taste, at least you tried it.
Right.
You know, because it's definitely a great experience.
You have been listening to It's Highly Recommended on The Lighthouse Beacon. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Erica Borgren, Iraq veteran and director of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. Our mission is to empower veterans and their families to thrive. Our agency is home to a team of veterans whose sole job is to help other veterans. But we can't do this work alone. We need Illinois veterans to stand up and be counted so we can better understand and serve our veteran community. You have already stood up to answer the call to service. Now, stand up and be counted to help the entire veteran community. Visit veterans.illinois.gov.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Beacon here on WCPT 820 AM. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Lainey, and Lainey, you're not eligible for this next thing.
What?
You're not a senior just yet.
But, oh, my gosh.
For seniors.
Soon enough, my
and I'm
friend.
Not a senior either.
You're not. No.
No, but a good thing for seniors. They can get free income tax help in Elgin, Senior Services. And that's seniorserviceassociation.org on your web. In Elgin, they are offering free income tax help in the Northern Fox Valley by appointment from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday. So if you're a senior and you need help in that area, then by all means, perhaps it's something you want to consider.
Bless the souls of people who volunteer their time to help others with taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot even fathom.
And the seniors should bring photo identification card, like a driver's license, Social Security card, W-2 forms, 1099 forms, property tax bill, checkbook for the direct deposit if a return is expected, date of the spouse's death if it occurred within the last year, copies of medical, dental, and prescription bills. And so for more information, you also can call Senior Services at 847-741-0404. So it's good that that particular organization, being Senior Services, Inc., is helping out seniors with their income tax.
Very valuable for all involved.
That's exactly right. And now,
I
know everyone's been waiting, and I am very interested to hear what story do you have for us today, ma'am?
Today, on today's Awe Factor, we are going to be talking about women who encircle a crying mom whose toddler was having a meltdown at the airport. Now, I probably can associate myself with this story a little better than you can, just because I have traveled alone with my children before.
Definitely.
And as
you
a mother,
and you have children.
Yes.
Two things that
yes.
I don't necessarily.
So it this is close to my heart, because traveling with children is not easy. Traveling alone with children is tremendously challenging, to put it mildly. But there, and we live in a day and age on the just on the technology spectrum where people are so quick to criticize and just slander parents. Like, mom shaming I don't know if you've heard that term, but mom shaming is a term that is used as far as technology goes today, where, you know, parents or women or people see something that a mom or a dad is doing and immediately become critical of it. And it's usually something they're doing where they're just trying their best. You know, they really are trying their best, but everybody's got an opinion. You know, everybody's got an opinion, and everybody thinks they're a better parent than everybody else. So there's this trend called mom shaming that's, you know, that is kind of a part ingrained into the DNA of our world of technology these days. So I really liked this story. It talks about a woman who was having a meltdown her toddler was having a meltdown, and she kind of fell apart. While airports may be typically associated with stress, this is actually a nice story where it helps to alleviate some of this anxiety. So this happened when she was flying out of Los Angeles earlier this month. the mom was waiting to board her flight to Portland, and as she was in the departure area, alongside of other travelers waiting for their own flight, she saw a mother who was having some problems with her son. And the woman who was observing this said the toddler looked to be about 18 or so months, was having a total meltdown, running between the seats, kicking and screaming, then lying on the ground, refusing to board the plane. So if you've ever experienced this with a child, it's pretty, it's just a very difficult thing to deal with your child while you're, you know, and as a parent traveling alone with other children, you're so hypersensitive to what others are thinking of you, because mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do is make anybody inconvenienced or make anybody angry or get evil eyes. I've gotten to a point with my travels where I don't even care, like, whatever, my, you know what, we're all trying to just get through life here. So if you're going to have a problem with me and my kids, that's your deal. But it does add an element of stress. You know, if you're on an airplane and your child starts crying or even starts making noise, you're immediately, like, every fiber in your being tenses up because you're so hypersensitive to it. So this woman, her toddler was running between the seats, screaming, having a meltdown, refusing to board the plane. His young mom was also pregnant, traveling alone with her 18-month-old toddler, and she became completely overwhelmed. She couldn't pick him up. He kept running away from her and then lying down on the ground, kicking and screaming again. So the young mother finally sat down on the floor, put her head in her hands, and just started crying while her kid was still running around having a meltdown. So this is kind of where the beauty happens. Six or seven women from around the boarding area convened around the young mother and formed a little circle around her and her toddler. And each of the women did something to help calm down both of them. So one of them sang Itsy Bitsy Spider to the little boy. One woman had an orange that she peeled. One woman had a little toy in her bag that she let the toddler play with. Another woman gave the mom a bottle of water. And then someone else helped get the kid's sippy cup out of the mom's bag and give it to him. And though the women did not exchange words over their common goal, they did not discuss this ahead of time, they were all strangers to one another, they were able to calm down the mother and the toddler until they were able to successfully board the plane. And after this event was done, everybody went back to their separate ways. They didn't talk about it. They just all came together as strangers to solve a problem. And the woman who was observing this said, it occurred to me that a circle of women with a mission can save the world. And she'll never forget that moment. So I just love that story, because we often, as single parents too, and I don't know if she was single or not, but she was by herself. Mm-hmm. You know, we are doing our best and often feel as though we're just not doing good enough. And so for this story to provide such an exhibition of support and love from other women in a world where it's very easy to tear each other down was just very inspiring to me. So that is this week's The Awe Factor.
Yes, it does have a warming ability to
element.
Element, that good word, yeah. Warming element to it. And it's kind of strange that airports don't have someone to come along and help in a situation like that. And I guess these other women had been in her place at one way or another, and they just knew exactly what to do.
That's a great point, because no parent has ever gone through parenthood unscathed by a toddler tantrum. Nobody on this earth who has a child can say that, oh, my child's never had a tantrum. So when you see somebody who's going through such a difficult time, to be able to find empathy and compassion instead of judgment and criticism is, you know, it's applicable to every situation that we might find ourselves in. So the fact that these fellow women were able to come together and support this person, this woman who was having just a very difficult struggle, I just find to be, you know, a really nice way for us to behave in the world that we live in today.
And where do the tantrums come from? Is it because the kid's uncomfortable, they're scared, or?
They could be uncomfortable, they could be scared, it could be a change of environment, they could be exhausted because flights happen, especially for young kids. Flights often happen like during nap times, or they interrupt a sleep schedule. They could be hungry, they could be tired, they could be thirsty. I mean, there's airports are not set up to be toddler convenient. You know, they're just not. And so you can't bring any beverages through security. I mean, you can bring formula and breast milk, but you can't bring water. You can't. So once you get to the other side, you have to figure that out. And, you know, and you have to figure out food. But often the restaurants have long lines. And so when you're dealing with a crabby toddler, there's just a very small window before the meltdown starts to happen. And then once the meltdown happens, it's pretty much game over until you get them what they need. So there's so many factors involved in toddler airport meltdowns. So I mean, I can 100% see how this happened. And I'm just grateful that she had the support of others around her at the time to help her through it.
Yeah. And so maybe one day she'll be a mom who's helping someone else.
I'm sure that that gesture will never be forgotten. Mm-hmm. And hopefully she's the type of person who will pay it forward.
All right.
Yep.
All right.
There we go.
So that's a perfect point for us to move forward into the laboratory. And we'll see what's going on in Luke's laboratory right now.
We have a guest in for Luke today, Miss Ann Kelly, who is an assistive technologist and trainer here at the Chicago Lighthouse. Good Saturday morning to you, Ann. How are you?
Hi, Juan. I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. What are we talking about this week in Luke's laboratory?
Okay. For this week, we are talking about smartphones.
Okay.
There's a very small phone called the SE. And if you're at a price point of being value conscious, those do start at $349. So the smaller phone actually has the body inside and the brains of the 6. So it's going to be a pretty fast, awesome phone and a great introductory price point and small. The next phone I'm going to talk about is the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. When Apple names products, Plus always means larger. The 6 and the 6 Plus has a headphone jack. So if you have 3.5 headphones, you can plug them in. They do not have to be Apple phones, headphones. They can be any headphone. Now, jumping to the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, Apple has the biggest features. They have removed the stereo jack. Now, this caused a lot of controversy because people thought remove, take away. But what Apple really did is Apple is going wireless, as is the world going wireless. So you can certainly use wireless headphones with the 7, 8, and 10. Can you still use headphones that you plug in? Absolutely. They've changed the jack to something called Lightning, and they are included in the box. If you have headphones that are not Apple headphones, there is an adapter that is included. So no worries. You can go ahead and use what you love and also get the benefit of wireless capability.
My guest this morning again is Ann Kelly. She is a trainer and assistive technologist here at the Chicago Lighthouse. And Ann, why don't you also tell them how to get a hold of you?
I can be reached at 847-510-2066. So just call. And I'm just going to finish up with the last two iPhones. So the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus, one of the big differences is it has wireless charging. They've also changed the back to glass, so you can use this feature. Now, a lot of people think wireless charging is you're just walking around and it's charging through the internet. So that's actually not correct. So what you do is you purchase a wireless charging pad, and you can just lay it on your nightstand or anywhere at work, and you just lay your iPhone on top of it. That wireless charging pad does need to be plugged in. So being visually impaired or blind, sometimes it's hard to find the cord and plug it in. So this is really great, very convenient. Okay, next up, we've got the iPhone 10. So the iPhone 10 is the latest and greatest, the newest iPhone. It also has wireless charging. It has the largest screen. And it has something cool called Face ID. And what I love about it is I can just hold my iPhone up and boom, I'm in. No passcode to type, no fingerprint, and there I am. So again, there's many more features of the specific phones. But if you want to learn more, I'm going to give you a website where you can actually compare the iPhones side by side. So it's apple.com/iPhone/iPhone. compare, forward slash. And then side by side, you'll get all those other specifics answered for you.
Ann Kelly, she's our assistive technologist and trainer here at the Chicago Lighthouse, and also has been filling in for Luke this week here on Luke's Laboratory. I'm Juan Suarez, and join us again next week right here on The Beacon.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us today.
Yeah.
That was a busy show.
Yes, well.
Full of words.
You like to pack it with as much information as possible.
It's dense. It's dense information, friends. So hopefully you were able to siphon out what you needed and take what you need and let go of the rest, as we say in yoga all the time.
That is correct.
Yep.
And if you have any questions, comments, you can always contact us at the Chicago Lighthouse. And the number to call is area code 312-997-3687. And you can leave any comments you have, any suggestions, and we'll be glad to listen.
Sounds good. Well, thank you to everybody who was involved in the show. Thank you for Brett and Sandy for their It's Highly Recommended segment. And thank you for you. Always very thankful to you for everything you do on and off the air.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you to Dr. Janet Slick, our president and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse, who supports us and keeps us on the air week after week. And that'll do it. I've got a birthday party to go to. I've got a 6-year-old birthday party to get to. We're going to do some jumpy houses. It's going to be a blast.
No clowns.
No clowns. Boo. Have a great week, everybody. Stay warm and safe, and we will talk to you next week.